The next case is 06-1250, Lynette Davis versus Gary Davis.
Morning, Your Honors.
Wait till I... Justice O'Connor has recused herself in this case. We're pleased to have sitting in place of Justice O'Connor, Judge Mark Pietrkowski, Judge of the Court of Appeals in the 6th District. Welcome, Judge Pietrkowski.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Kleinman.
May it please the court, I am here representing Lynette Davis in this matter. My brief is a simple brief. It's a short brief. I don't want to belabor the points that are in the brief. There are a couple things I would like to point out to the court that I didn't emphasize in the brief that may be helpful to this court in its deliberation. The Court of Appeals in this case has made a connection between 3321.04 and 3103.03b. In using the standard for accreditation or for approval of a home education program as the overlay for the approval of that's set forth in 3103.03b. And that is, those two statutes really deal with two completely separate things. The 3321.04 deals with compulsory education, which deals by its definition with children under the age of 18 and their ability to opt out of the public school education provisions of the Ohio Revised Code. 3103.03b, by definition, deals with children over the age of 18. And so there really is no direct connection between these two statutes, even though the Court of Appeals has put them together. So to reach the conclusion that because under a homeschooling program for children under the age of 18, those requirements apply to the educational requirements under 3103.03b, I think is not warranted. The other thing I'd like to point out to this court,
let me just stop you there for a second, Mr. Kleinman, and see if I can direct your argument here. If I'm understanding, review of the Court of Appeals opinion seems to say recognized and accredited only means recognized and accredited schools in the state of Ohio.
Correct.
Now, is the issue that we are supposed to resolve here whether it is confined to the state of Ohio or anywhere where the school might be recognized and accredited, or is there some other issue that we should be addressing beyond that?
No, the direct narrow issue before this court is whether 3103.03b requires approval by the state of Ohio.
Accreditation by the state of Ohio, isn't it?
Well, that's what the statute says, accreditation. The two cases that the Court of Appeals relies on defines accreditation and goes to Webster's to do it because the statute doesn't do it, and talks about it being, you know, approved by some legitimate authority. And so if you use that theory for this case, you have complied with the requirements of 3103.03b by the program being approved by any state's accreditation process. As a matter of fact, the accrediting institution for the American school is the same accrediting institution that is identified, I believe, in the Brown case, in which the part of the reasoning there was for not requiring, quote, accreditation in a formal way, is because only 500 high schools in Ohio out of 1,500 have actually been accredited in this fashion. The American school happens to be one of those schools. So it would qualify even under the term of the statute, which is accredited.
Is that the best case authority, Mr. Kleinman, you've been able to, the Brown case, is that perhaps?
Well, Brown and Gatchell are the only two cases that I could find that deal with this issue. And Gatchel relies on Brown and really comes to the same conclusion. And the theory, though, and Gatchel really says it correctly, and that is the purpose of 3103.03b is to make sure that a child gets child support while that child is pursuing an education that will allow him to be self-sufficient. And that's the legislative intent. And that legislative intent has been met and will be met by a child attending a school that is accredited by any state, not just by the state of Ohio. It leads to all kinds of absurd results.
The simple sort of response is that if the General Assembly wanted to confine it to accredited by the state of Ohio, it could have said that. The language is very broad, and so we assume that the General Assembly intended that if you're accredited in Illinois, that's good enough for us in Ohio. I mean, it's simple statutory interpretation, isn't it?
I couldn't agree with you more, Your Honor.
Well, what evidence in the record at the other end here?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know that's all right. The sound must be really good. You can't tell.
I was looking over this way.
Who's talking?
Yeah.
Let's assume that accreditation means by any legitimate agency. What evidence is in the record that this school is in fact accredited by Illinois or by anyone?
Well, the record. One thing, Your Honor, you have to. I came into this case after the trial of this matter,
right.
And so
what evidence was put in at trial that the school is actually accredited?
I believe that there was testimony to that effect
by
my client, Ms. Davis,
and she would have. Apparently unobjected testimony.
You know? I'm sorry.
Do you know if the testimony was unobjected? She said it was her belief that this school was, but was there any documentation? Let me add it this way. Was there any documentation demonstrating that this apparently a correspondence school was accredited?
Yeah, there was a letter from the school that said the child was attending and that that the school was accredited by the state of Illinois as well as this North Central Association of Colleges and Schools.
All right, so
there is a letter in the record that sets that forth.
And Mr. Kleinman, it does call it, and I'm here, it does call it a high school. Looking at Section B, when you say, you know, you have the duty of support for a child who continuously attends, the word attends, on a full-time basis, any recognized and accredited high school, and then the duty shall continue during seasonal vacation periods. In reading as a whole, it sounds as if we're talking about, you know, a freestanding high school that the individual attends during times that are not on vacation. Is that really what we have here with the American school, and would the record suggest that it really falls within this section of the code?
Well, it's my understanding, Your Honor, that the American school is not a brick and mortar school, if that's what you're suggesting. But I think that we're well beyond 3103.03b requiring a brick and mortar school, and the homeschooling exception is a great example of that. And it is not, but I don't see anything in the case law or in the legislative intent behind the statute that would limit the exception to a brick and mortar school to just be a homeschooling program.
The Court of Appeals opinion, though, says it was an organization creating instructional materials for the homeschooled students. So I'm just trying to get my hand around whether this was a computer program or if this was all done online and at the convenience of the child, and if that really is within the purview of Section B as it's currently written.
In all honesty, Your Honor, I don't know a lot about the American school. As I understand it, it was a correspondence school, and I believe that it was done by mail rather than through computers. I think the time frame that this all occurred in also would lend itself to it perhaps being done as a correspondence school. That's how it defines itself in this letter that I previously referred to. And maybe I haven't apprehended your question well enough, but whether it was by correspondence or computer or whatever, I think the real issue before this court is the interpretation of 3103.03b. And that's really the thing that I that is interesting and important about this case, and that is even that the way the Court of Appeals interpreted the statute, even had this young lady been attending a high school, brick-and-mortar high school, right across the state line, while still a resident of Ohio, this opinion means that she doesn't get child support after age 18.
Right. Although what I'm suggesting is if we were to find that this definition would exclude the American school for some other reason, I mean, we could affirm on different grounds, but it's the question of what the statute is actually saying and what it means. You're saying within the record here, we will find something that shows this was an accredited high school.
Yes, I attached, when I came in the case, this was a case that I took on as a favor to Ms. Davis. And so I initially got into this, and I tried to do it in an efficient way because I thought the answer was very simple. So I filed objections to the magistrate's report. And with my objections to the magistrate's report, I attached this letter that I'm referring to, and I can show it to you. But if you look at the objections, you'll see the letter. I know the letter is there. And that's never been disputed. It was never disputed by the other side. It was never disputed by the trial court, and it's never been disputed by the Court of Appeals that, and it's actually part of the Court of Appeals opinion. There is a finding in the opinion that it was accredited by the state of Illinois. And so the decision by the Court of Appeals accepts that as a given fact. So I don't know that that fact needs to be reviewed in order to reach the opinion that it's misconstrued the statute.
Well, assuming that we were going to look at that fact, and I don't know that we are, the information that you were talking about when you answered my question is the information that was attached to your affidavit on your objections to the magistrate's report?
Yeah, it was attached
to a sort of a form letter from the Department of Education, State Department of Ohio Department of Education, and then a photocopy of a sheet from somewhere as state-approved schools.
That's a little bit different.
I
later found out, ironically, that the American school is approved by the Ohio State Board of Education. And so I filed a 60B
all right,
motion.
All right, I'm sorry. So that's not what you were
referring to? No, that's not what I'm relying on. I'm relying on the letter that I attached to my objections to the magistrate's report. So
you have a 60B motion filed in the trial court.
Yeah, I filed the 60B
based
motion.
Based on your new information, I guess, that you...
Right, and it was rejected because they said it was untimely. But by then, this case had already gotten into this court, so I decided to pursue this avenue.
So maybe moot.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mr.?
I have nothing else. If there's other questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Appellee has not timely filed the brief, so appellee waives oral argument. Marshal, please adjourn court.